I'm Henry Lynn.
I am Henry Lynn. Joking, I'm Barnett Zidron.
Good joke,
BZ. Kick it off with a fucking joke.
And welcome to Better World.
Better World is an exploration of badass people doing really good things.
And jokes.
And jokes.
The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing it.
So welcome to Better World.
We have been exploring a better world through, I believe it's episode 9, One Ocean Beauty, and I'm missing potentially one. Oh, Alex Silverfagan mentioned it too. Beauty products and the amount of plastics and chemicals that are in them. And we at Better World are super interested in not only how they are made and how they can be made more sustainably and with less carbon debt, but we're interested in what's fashionable and what's hip for the kids.
We've always been interested in this. Even our episode with Lauren Singer touched on this a bit.
Oh, that's right. That's
and,
the one.
Who else was on that episode? I'm trying to
remember. Ramona.
Of course, Ramona was on it. Yeah. I mean, that episode was all, we talked about vibes, we talked about auras, we talked about colors. We also talked about clean beauty, I'm pretty sure.
Based on how killer this senior editor's dress is, I have a feeling that we're going to talk about vibes and colors today.
Why, thank you.
Welcome to the podcast, Olivia Fleming. Olivia,
thanks for having me.
Word on the street is that you put together an encyclopedia of clean beauty products.
This is true. It's going live on August 9th.
Amazing.
That might change, depending.
It's maybe going live.
Going live on August 9th. At bazaar.com, we've been focusing a lot on clean beauty and sustainable fashion. It's become kind of a mission for us. So our beauty director, Jenna Rosenstein, and I decided to put together a kind of encyclopedia to help readers really pass through all the misinformation out there.
So this was a real journalistic initiative to ensure that people understand what is in their products and what they're putting on.
Yeah, and what to look for as consumers. I mean, there's a lot of greenwashing going on.
Can you explain greenwashing before we move on?
Sure. Greenwashing basically is when an industry, and we're talking about beauty, when the beauty industry takes words like natural, green, sustainable, clean, non-toxic, and puts them on packaging to try and sway consumers to buy
when they aren't those
their
things.
Products, yeah, when right. they are not necessarily those products. And the reason that that happens is because there is no regulation around how those terms are used.
Ah. So this is like my Tinder profile saying I'm marryable.
Sure.
No one? Not even you?
No.
Died on the vine. God, it's quiet in here today.
Dad.
Dad joke.
So, and also dad joke. Oh, flagged in two directions. So we see a prolific amount of this greenwashing in the beauty industry and in other industries, of course. And you guys want to combat that. And what are some of the other challenges that you feel the industry has that in Encyclopedia answers?
There are so many. One big thing we're tackling is fragrance. So if you go home and look at any product in your bathroom cabinet, you will see the word fragrance or perfume or parfum
right.
on the back of any product that you use if you're not already invested in clean beauty. And under that label, there can live thousands of ingredients under
that one label. Oh, so the scents of all the products that I have bad shit in them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the reason that...
Your wife wanted me not to curse anymore.
That's okay.
The reason that beauty companies don't have to disclose what is in their fragrance is because it is considered a trade secret. It's proprietary information.
Oh, so it they allows don't, them just to hide garbage, basically.
Exactly. So it's a loophole that... I don't think beauty companies are being nefarious. I don't think really any beauty companies out there are being nefarious.
But perhaps lazy.
Well, negligent. I was talking to an amazing green chemist recently, Dr. John Warner. He sat me down and took me through basically what he's told me that I know more about toxicology than a recent graduate of chemistry. There is no people studying chemistry in university are not required to learn about how what they're making and inventing could be potentially harmful to the body or planet.
The negative effects of what they're making.
Exactly. So how are inventors supposed to make things that are not harmful if they do not realize that they're harmful.
So there are no chemistry educational standards or there are no government regulatory standards around chemistry?
Correct. And Dr. John Warner actually went after the Mueller report, after the hearing on Wednesday, he actually went to Congress to talk about this, to try and change the curriculum.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Wow.
Because it needs to start from the bottom. We aren't going to see any changes. So I think that there's a reason, for example, that sunscreen is formulated the way it is. People don't want to put white sticky goop all over their body at the beach. That is natural sunscreen. There is no natural sunscreen that is like non-nano zinc that will not kind of
all give you that sheen. All the natural ones have that thick zinc oxide.
Exactly.
So in one way or another, there's like a pale rubbed in sheen that you get.
Yes. And if you, so consumers don't want that. So chemists formulated it to make it go on clear. That means using chemicals that are inherently toxic.
Right. Harmful to the oceans.
Harmful to the body.
Cancer causing, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think, one thing that I want everyone to kind of look at is say, you know, these beauty companies, I don't think had any intention of harming their customers.
No, the supply and demand.
It's just that there's a reason that dry shampoo is formulated the way it is, because it works. People, right. It smells good. It keeps your hair not oily, etc. And green technology has come a long way in terms of skincare and makeup. With hair, it has still got a little bit of a way to go. With sunscreen, it's still got a little bit of a way to go.
Right. Okay. So the majority of what you guys cover in beauty focuses then on the products and formulations and whether they're toxic or not toxic. Did you guys introduce a standard by any chance?
We have, there's not so much a standard in so far, because the thing with chemistry is that you can have a product full of safe ingredients, quote unquote, safe ingredients mm-hmm. that are certified by the EWG, the Environmental Working Group. Mm-hmm. However, when ingredients are put together, new ingredients can form. That ingredient might also be harmful. No one is testing complete products at the moment. We've got like Cradle to Cradle and the EWG testing certain ingredients, but no one is testing the final product. So that's where this gets a little bit tricky.
I see. So,
and that takes investment on the
absolutely.
On
it's
the
expensive.
Maker's end to recognize, look, my consumer is going to care about the rigorous testing that I've imposed on myself and my own business. Very few companies are willing to do that because A, it's a
time,
cost, and B, it's a
time
huge
consuming.
Cost.
It's very time consuming.
It can add years.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where like these smaller brands are really winning, because they are starting
from ground zero.
Whereas these bigger companies, I don't want to name names, but they would have to overhaul their entire chemistry process, supply chain, manufacturing process, and sourcing. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's natural doesn't always mean better either, depending on how the plants are sourced. How palm oil, for example, is a great example. I mean, palm oil is a natural resource. It is it is a natural ingredient. However, it
has horrible ramifications.
Yeah, deforestation and extinction of animals. So it is, I think that any company who is committed to a clean beauty standard or process is already looking at how they're sourcing products and how they're growing their natural products. But it's still something to keep in mind. I think just as consumers, we really need to educate ourselves around where the ingredients on our products are where they're coming from, how they're grown, how they're sourced, how they're formulated, how they're harvested, how they're packaged, etc.
Wow. So the encyclopedia is more a resource for consumers or the Harper's Bazaar audience per se than it is the industry or setting standards, though you're raising the conversation, you're raising the bar.
It's definitely service-based towards our readers to try and help them navigate this arena.
And to anybody who's SEO searching for this stuff so that there's an actual resource there.
Yeah.
When you go look.
And I think that
there's not much out there right now, is there?
Not beyond the normal.
Not beyond like Think Dirty.
Or Goop.
Right.
Which you.
But yeah, I mean, I do hope that
you can't
the
believe that either.
I can't believe Gwyneth.
No, they sell their own products.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. We're trying to take an unbiased stance towards this and saying, look, this is the reality of the situation. A lot of the ingredients that are quote unquote toxic or harmful have been quote unquote proven to be safe in low doses. And the doses in your beauty products are low enough to be considered safe. However, no studies have looked at chronic exposure. So that's acute exposure might be safe, but chronic exposure, we don't know. No one knows.
We haven't tested it for 30 years.
Exactly. There are those, and you might hear a lot of people that are against, or you might hear people in the conventional beauty industry saying, there's no evidence to support that. Well, that's not true. There is, lack of data is very different to lack of evidence.
Right. Okay. Right. We will take our first commercial break. And Barnett's on this one today because the smile to go has a hibiscus margarita.
Brand new. It's about to drop soon. And, you know, we just want to thank the Smile and
for everything they do
for us.
SmileRadio.fm. Please check them out.
Smile cafes in a neighborhood near you in New York City.
24th and Lexington, where our podcast.
And you can get rotisserie chicken. You can get fresh salad, seasonal food. And now, soon to come, a hibiscus margarita.
And we are back with Olivia Fleming talking about her new initiative, the Encyclopedia of Clean Beauty, and all things that are dirty in the beauty industry. Dun, dun, dun. I would love to hear a little bit about what you think some of the major changes that are easy for the industry could be, or, I mean, less difficult for the industry could be. And I'm asking this because I see more and more of these companies, you know, even as a result of deregulation, I'll take that argument from all the Republicans. But, you know, cars are a great example, adhering to the California emission standards. What are some of those shifts that are going to occur or that you are a proponent of in the beauty industry?
I think the biggest changes will come with where we put our consumer dollars. If beauty companies realize that this is something that people care about, they will be forced to change. Mm. And also, regulation is having a huge impact. One hair brand specifically looks at the regulations in California and Europe and formulates their products to meet those standards before the regulations are even passed because they know that they need to get ahead of the game.
Right.
But they're only making those changes because of the regulations. So call your senators, call your congresspeople, make them realize that this is important to you.
So what are some of the negative health effects that are occurring, just to be, you know, as specific as possible that you've seen, because you have a PhD in toxicology, according to a doctor?
It can vary from, so harmful chemicals can be found in preservatives. So something that is on the shelf for a long time, you know, your product that you see in a drugstore that can last on the shelf for 5 years is going to be filled with fillers and preservatives. Those things can be harmful and can irritate the skin, but mostly they're harmful. I mean, they're harmful depending on who you are. One product is going to have a very different response for a 56-year-old man than it might for a woman who is in her 15th week of pregnancy.
Right.
Because a lot of these ingredients are endocrine disruptors, and what that means is that they enter the bloodstream and affect you on a hormonal level, and you really don't need a lot of, in terms of acute and chronic exposure, you really don't need a lot of exposure for your hormones to be affected.
Right.
And as a woman, that could mean anything from screwing up your periods to screwing up your fertility to screwing with your weight loss regime, your skin, anything.
Right.
So what you're putting on your skin to help your skin could really be making it worse in the long run.
We did a podcast on that with Lauren Billy and Ashley Spivak and Josh Jackson, Hormones, episode one.
Mm. Yeah.
Big thing. What are some of the good products that you love?
Gosh, there are so many.
Can we name products?
Can we shout out?
And you review them?
Sure.
Sponsored by.
All right. What do you think about Kula?
So some, much like Supergoop or Kula, there are some sunscreens that are better than other from brands. I don't think that there is... Some brands are totally focused on having every single product meet a certain standard, whereas some other brands like Kula and Supergoop only have a couple of sunscreens in their rotation that are EWG like certified for the lowest rating. Mm-hmm. And those are the mineral sunscreens.
Yeah.
So as a consumer, you basically need to make a choice of I'm fine to put on white goop and have like
right.
onto your skin and know that it's safe for planet and people, or
no.
or I need to have clear sunscreen on
my... What about the mandalas of the world, or the people who mix it down so that it's less white, more skin toned? Like what's your favorite sunscreen?
There's one, it's called Loving Naturals, I think. Let me just...
We are going to the internet on this one.
I actually don't have any Wi-Fi on my laptop.
Is it tinted?
No, it's formulated with... It's non-nano zinc formulated with a lot of oils. So it is quite oily and greasy.
Yeah.
But it does go on sort of clear. However, it still leaves a white residue.
Got it.
I don't think there is any mineral... I have not found, and we have tested a lot of them, I don't think there's any mineral sunscreens out there that don't leave some kind of white residue.
I've been using the Kula Face... The mineral one.
Mm-hmm.
That's cucumbery.
Yep.
And I quite like it. It's my favorite one.
It's delicious.
Outside of like the hardcore like helio mineral spectrum from La Roche-Posay.
Well, I think
one that like that one's really good in terms of protection, but I've been
right.
I really like the Kula stuff.
What are some of your other favorite products outside of sunscreen? The people who are like doing it right.
I'm just doing a quick EWG. Sorry to break it to you, but that has got a high EWG score.
Which is
for toxicity,
bad.
Yeah.
With La Roche-Posay.
No, the Kula.
Uh-oh.
That's the cucumber one, right? That's the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
High toxicity.
So I would, and this is, I mean, EWG is a really great resource for anyone who is unsure of the products that they're using. You just type in the product into their search bar and it will take you through all the ingredients and give an overall average rating. And I personally try to stick to, in my own bathroom cabinet.
Are you kidding me? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's educational.
Yeah.
Supergoop
I've been using it every day.
Supergoop does have a good mineral face sunscreen that I love that goes on, that is tinted, that I really like. But one of their, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying any of this. I should probably double check before I let you put it on the air. But their Supergoop's new face moisturizer is terrible for like toxicity wise.
Really
So you just have to check product by product.
So what are some of the things
perfect example of greenwashing?
Yeah. Wow. Okay,
you got greenwashed.
What
bro.
Do you think? I'm just like grateful for level setting and the information.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the EWG.
What do you think of,
which again is, I do think that EWG is, yeah, they're just a great resource.
Are we doing another commercial? Do we need another commercial break? And then we can get back into this? Because I have more.
So for our last commercial, I would like to give a very, very special shout out to the folks at One Ocean Beauty. And I will tell you why. Not just because they're having a party today. It was disclosed to me recently that... Marcella had raised a good amount of capital and hit a very big milestone. So we are congratulating and applauding her today for all of her efforts. One Ocean Beauty has a line of products that are made from marine life and really good peptides rather than harmful stuff. We love everything that they do, and we're really supportive of their growth and would like to see more companies that are also giving back directly to things like the ocean, which they do. They gave a very, very large sum of money. And we're very, very appreciative of them coming on the pod as well. So shout out to Ocean Beauty, and go check them out at oneoceanbeauty.com. And we're back.
Can I go back to talking about what kind of harm that
there are no parents and no rules here.
Because you'll edit it, right?
Yes, please go back. Please go back.
So I just want to talk really quickly about parabens. So parabens mimic estrogen in the human body. And they have been linked to reproductive organ harm, thyroid disruption, hormone-related cancers, and obesity. Phthalates, which are found in under the fragrance banner, have been linked also to reproductive and hormonal harm in children and men. Some studies have linked phthalate exposure to obesity, type 2 diabetes, reduced sperm count, liver and breast cancers, reproduction malformation, infertility, and cardiovascular issues.
Henry, that's why you're the way you are.
That's also fair.
But I mean, a lot of people who say if you eat really well and you can't, you really struggled to you're struggling to lose the 10 pounds that you really want to lose. A lot of the time it can be an overexposure to estrogen and things like beauty products.
Yeah.
And if you're putting that on every day, that's for a lot of women, and they're frustrated and they don't understand why. It could be as easy as that.
Wow.
That's incredible.
What do you think about...
Does the encyclopedia actually... address that from that perspective? Have you checked all of the things that could be potentially throwing you off, and like, do we have like a cross-reference list?
I'm working on a separate story about specifically about hormone, like endocrine disruptors, because endocrine disruptors are everywhere, as I'm sure you talked about on episode one. They're in plastic, the water that you drink out of plastic water bottles is an endocrine disruptor. The tap water that you drink, the meat you eat, if it's not organic, pesticides on fruit, if it's not organic, are endocrine disruptors. They're everywhere. So not just in beauty products.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Crossover. Barnett. It's another mic drop again. We just did a drop.
Mm-hmm.
She came in. She talked about it. That's it. We've been talking about the fact that some of our guests are coming in and creating the full circle that we've been discussing for us.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You're going to start talking about like regenerative farming next at this point.
Probably.
It's great.
Which would be a double, that would be a double rainbow.
That would be double rainbow. It's all linked.
What do you think of Josh Rosenbrook?
Love him.
Ooh, strong.
Great brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think of Glossier's new P50?
Haven't looked at it. Going to be honest.
Look at it. And then hate it later.
And then, okay.
I should probably look at it really quickly, though, because...
Yeah.
Glossier is a funny one. They never claim to be clean, but a lot of people think they are.
Yeah. Branding.
Glossier P50?
Well, no. It's like their answer to Biologique's P50. If that makes sense.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And interestingly, and I only know this because I do what I do, but like... they're buying keywords on Biologique Recherche P50.
Got it.
Because that's who they're going after.
Right. Glossier Solution.
Yeah.
All right. Let me look up the ingredients.
And then part B of that is, what do you think of P50?
I honestly don't know much about it. That's the thing. My beauty director, Jenna Rosenstein, is an expert on all things beauty. I'm just an expert on all things very clean beauty. All right, so...
But that's good to know that you like Rosenbrook.
Oh, yeah. He's great. And, I mean, Laurel Whole Plant Organics is another favorite one. Marie Varonique, and she's a chemist who teamed up with esthetician Christina Holly. Incredible brand. I think that third party... I think also there are so many issues with clean beauty. The expense is one issue. It's very much, if you don't want to harm yourself through beauty products, you have to have money to spend. There are a couple of things popping up at the moment, cheaper options, but they're few and far between. What other brands do I love?
And while you're thinking, is packaging and so the delivery of the product and what it's coming in, is that, does that play into what clean beauty is, or should it?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think clean beauty should...
Great question.
This is my definition of clean beauty, what it should mean. It should mean safer people and planet. It should mean that a beauty product has been considered to be human and, like... Clean means that a beauty product should have considered human and environmental health, using non-toxic elements as a baseline and plant-based ingredients for active results. But the way I like to think about it is, much like clean eating rejects the idea of processed foods and focuses on nourishing plant-based produce that deliver vitamins and antioxidants needed for a healthy immune and digestive system, the same is true for clean skincare, that it's looking at it from both angles. It's good for, you know, you're not over farming and you are getting all the good nourishing ingredients, right, and none of the bad stuff.
Right. Mm.
So you're not using pesticides. You're not disrupting local communities.
Right.
You're not using too much water. And that's another thing. In the beauty industry, it's just a lot of filtered water in products. Yes. Most of the time you look at an ingredient and the first or second ingredient, you look at an ingredient deck and the first or second product is always water or aqua.
Do you think that's going to be disrupted in the same way that a number of these other products are, that are carbon positive because you're moving around heavy amounts of liquid through distribution channels? Are we going to get beauty down to its simplest components, add water later?
It's possible. I mean, most of the products that I use don't even use water in them. So it can be, Amazing. You know, you don't need to use water. But I think that I really, really champion the idea of buying local and as local as you can, because much like any other form of sustainable, you know, fashion or, package-free things or...
How can you buy local with beauty?
If you live in Los Angeles or New York, it's easy.
Right.
Obviously...
These are just things that are made locally and you buy them at the store and...
Yeah.
No shipping, don't do D2C for it, that kind of thing?
Yes. And I mean, so I think shipping, international shipping, I mean, I'm much more okay with buying my products from California than I would say Australia, living in America. It's less to travel. But also, I mean, it comes down to what Lauren Singer is doing at Package Free Store. It's like buy things in bulk.
Shout out to Lauren Singer.
Yeah, she's doing great stuff.
Episode 11. She's incredible.
And yeah, the more local, the things that are local have traveled less and have sat on the shelf for less time will inherently be better in terms of the ingredients anyway.
Right. Okay. So it sounds to me like you have some really, really great suggestions for our users that you've teed up, all 100,000 of them, BZ, that you've teed up, and to review some of the things that you've said for what we can do to create change, research or look at and understand all of the chemicals that are in your, all the ingredients and chemicals that are in your beauty products, and look at the hidden places. If it says parfums, we should probably shy away from it because it's...
Or, I mean, some clean products do, it will say fragrance. So an essential oil can also be a fragrance.
Okay.
That is still, so my recommendation is to email the company and ask for their full list. A lot of people will say, well, that's just going to overwhelm the consumer. And frankly, that's disrespectful to their consumer.
Right.
Their consumer is smart enough to understand the ingredients that the company is using.
Consumer can also look at your resources, such as the encyclopedia. What other resources do you recommend?
The EWG is great.
Okay.
Good For You is really good. Cradle to Cradle. Made Safe. Looking for certification labels is really helpful. The EcoCert label, etc.
Okay. And you mentioned buy local as much as you possibly can.
As much as you can, yeah.
Okay. And
look for the expiration date of things. I mean, if something is going to expire 6 months after you open it, you can be pretty sure that everything in there is fresh,
right,
and good.
And... be cool with white zinc oxide, it's the coolest.
Exactly. We need to make it. We need to change that.
We definitely need to change that.
Yeah. Okay. Get some influencers wearing white zinc sunscreen all over their bodies.
Okay, that's our next campaign. We're on it.
I also want people to be mindful of it's not just your own health. And in terms of the environment, can seem how the beauty industry impacts the environment can seem very too big and hard to understand. But really, all you need to understand is if you are using shampoo and that shampoo has petroleum based products or sulfates, right, or microplastics or anything that can harm fish. I mean, it's going straight down the drain. We don't yet have filtration systems that filter out those ingredients. So they are going into the ocean. They're going into our rivers. They are turning up in the fish that we eat, etc.
Right.
Wow.
And last but not least, when can or where can we find the encyclopedia when it is ready?
www.harpersbazaar.com/ I want to say clean beauty. I'll get back to you on that.
Look for our email, which will go out then August 9th when it goes live. Olivia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Olivia.
My pleasure.
Yeah, this is great.
This is really great. Also, we love your dress.
It's right in the runway.
They're killing it, man.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Jennifers.
It's Proenza.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful Proenza dress.
It is beautiful.
That will be upcycled over and over again.
You're just living your lyrics, man. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Matt Rubin. Love that guy.
Mm.
I'm Thanks, Henry guys. Lynn.
I'm Bart Anzadrin.
Thank you for joining us on Better World. Join us again to hear how you can help make the world better.
One love.